You're smart. Your TV is smart. That's why you cut the cord. But you need one more thing.
Alaska's News Source. Watch live or when it's convenient for you, here's how.
Just search Alaska's News Source on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, or Android TV. Install and enjoy.
It's completely free and has everything you need in one spot.
Breaking news.
Statewide weather. In-depth investigations.
Start streaming Alaska's News Source live today.
Tonight at 6, $2,200 versus $1,300. Lawmakers debate the size of your PFD while planning the state budget. Plus, the city might be selling a plot of land that's being used as a large homeless camp here in Anchorage. Find out where it is and what City Hall has in mind.
And snow returns to South Central with more in the forecast. I'll have a look at that Easter weekend forecast.
The wave didn't come in this far with a strong force like you'd imagine.
And tonight we remember the 1964 earthquake. 60 years later, we have a preview of tonight's special program.
You're watching Alaska's News Source.
Good evening, everyone. Can the state afford to give you a more than $2,200 PFD? Well, tonight, that debate has started inside the state capitol. As our Steve Kirch first reported yesterday, some lawmakers are now proposing PFD changes. Steve?
Yeah, we should start by saying the amendment to reduce the PFD by $2,200 failed in the House Finance Committee today. And this should just give us an idea of what's set to play out over the next few weeks. Now, citing oil price volatility, Ketchikan Representative Dan Ortiz, who's not affiliated with any party, says the $2,200 PFD, including in the draft House operating budget, should be reduced to pay out more than $1,800. Ortiz says the draft proposal uses $150 million in oil surplus money plus state savings to pay for a larger PFD. Reducing the amount to $1,870 makes sense if oil prices drop, there's extra savings. And not just that, the minority members argue, similar to Senate majority members, like surplus is needed to pay for items like school internet speed, senior benefits, and other legislation that may still pass. But Finance Co-Chair Delaney Johnson and her supporters are sticking by a $2,272 PFD as they rejected the Ortiz Amendment, saying with a $150 million surplus and a balanced budget, the state can afford it.
Currently, we have a balanced budget. We have money allocated for education. We have space in the budget for bills. We have a very robust capital budget compared to previous years. But what this amendment would do is it would take money out of the PFD and put it back into the government's for additional spending. So that's why I'm going to be a no.
Is it in the best interest for the state overall? When we talk about a growing deferred maintenance list that's growing year after year after year, that's not being addressed under the current CS, very, very little money is going towards that particular effort. When we have schools that need repair, significant schools where there are leaks in the roofs, things like that.
Now, to keep this in perspective, Co-Chair Delaney Johnson of the House Finance Committee says there's more than 99 amendments to this draft proposed budget. And some of these amendments are likely to relate to the PFD and education funding. So we'll see what plays out over the next few weeks. Steve Kirch, Alaska's News Source.
All right, also in Juneau, State House lawmakers sent a child sex abuse bill from the floor back to committee. The bill looks in part at what the age of consent should be. In the last week, lawmakers discussed moving it, that age, from 16 to 18. Steve Kirch looked into the bill. We'll have the full story on alaskasnewssource.com and on our news app. Well, it's land most of us associate with a homeless camp. We're talking about the former site of the proposed National Archives building next to Cuddy Family Midtown Park. Rebecca Palsha has new information tonight on plans in the works at City Hall about that land. Rebecca?
Mike, the area has exploded into one of the largest homeless camps in Anchorage. And now the city's real estate director says the city of Anchorage might sell it. The area in question will be discussed at an Anchorage assembly meeting in April. Now, asked if Cuddy Park itself was for sale, the real estate department for the city said the park will not be sold, but the land beside it, the former site of that proposed National Archives building at East 40th Avenue and Denali Street, could be. Now, some Anchorage assembly members say they have been given very little information from the mayor about the zoning changes, but agree they want something productive to happen here. Homelessness has, of course, dominated the race for mayor as well as assembly agendas. And the property has long been seen as the face of the crisis. I have emailed the top four candidates in the race for mayor, and we are still waiting to hear back. We will, of course, update the story as it unfolds. Rebecca Palsha, Alaska's News Source.
Our turn now to the weather. Light rain is falling across the Anchorage Bowl with snow in the higher elevations. Melissa Fry joins us now with a look at the forecast.
Yeah, you may have seen a car or two driving around town with snow on top and thought, wait a minute, where is this snow coming from? It's been mostly rain here below about 2,000 feet, but I do want to show you what it looks like right now up at Glen Alps. You can see pretty heavy snow that's continued most of the day. It is that dense, wet, heavy snow amounting to at least an inch in many locations. Temperatures, again, in the lower elevations, sitting in those mid to upper 30s, but when you get a little bit higher, that's where it's cold enough for this rain to change over to snow. These showers are just about done. A few isolated showers lingering overnight tonight into early tomorrow morning, but I'm really not expecting much more from this particular system. We do, however, have multiple storms lining up, already seeing winter storm watches in effect for the southwest corner of the state. That's for the next storm that's going to move in as we head into late Thursday and Friday, bringing snow and wind to, again, the southwest corner of the state, and we'll eventually see that pushing here into South Central once we get into this weekend. But as we look ahead to tomorrow, the cloud cover that we have overhead is going to break up a bit for us here tomorrow. Temperatures will still drop below freezing overnight tonight, so be prepared for that potential for icy roads in the morning. But then we'll see high temperatures back into the mid-30s with sun breaks into the afternoon. Again, chances for both rain and snow as we head into this weekend, depending on where you are, and I'll have a look at those details and your extended forecast here in a few minutes.
All right, we'll see you then, Melissa. Thanks. Be sure to download the Alaska's News Source weather app to keep up to the minute on the day's weather. Check in to see if we're expecting rain, snow, or sunshine between our newscasts. Well, today on the 60th anniversary of the 1964 earthquake that triggered deadly tsunamis, the state held a test to make sure we're prepared. Now, depending on where you are in Alaska, you might have heard a siren like this one in Kodiak go off this morning, or an alert message on your radio or TV around 10:20 this morning. That's what it would sound like in case of a real tsunami threat. Thankfully, this was only a test put on by state agencies to ensure Alaskans are prepared in case of a real emergency. Residents are encouraged to give feedback about that test on ready.alaska.gov. Well, tonight at 6:30 on Channel 2, we have a very special program about the damage, death, and destruction caused by the Great Alaska Earthquake 60 years ago today. Michaela Clark has a preview.
It was a day that went down in history. 60 years ago, March 27th, 1964, people's lives were forever changed in South Central Alaska as they endured the second largest quake ever recorded. Tonight at 6:30, we share survivor stories with you.
She took me around to the family's houses to tell that I saw their dad or their son or their brother on the dock.
Dan Kendall is one of the four survivors we talked to who felt the tsunami's immediate impact. Phil Richardson from Seward is another.
We only had lost 13 people from the town that we know of.
From landslides.
We went down 40 feet and part of the house crumbled and then half of the house stayed up.
To the sounds that survivors will never forget.
You couldn't hear anything except for the rumble.
And new information on if this could happen again from the experts who have six decades of research on the Good Friday quake, telling us what we need to be prepared for.
And we have now been 60 years without a deeply impactful tsunami in this state, and that could easily happen tomorrow.
From what that science can now tell us to the unforgettable stories behind the 9.2 quake, join me, Chief Meteorologist Melissa Fry, and our Director of Photography, Eric Soule, as we look back 60 years later at the Great Alaska Earthquake. That's coming up tonight at 6:30 on Channel 2. Michaela Clark, Alaska's News Source.
Still ahead tonight, preparing Alaska's military members for the frigid outdoors. And this week's Inside the Gates, we join airmen as they learn cold weather survival.
You're watching Alaska's News Source.
For many military members stationed on J-Bear, adjusting to these cold, dark Alaskan winters can be difficult. And not every service member is required to attend a survival school, which is why the Air Force has opened up a new opportunity so those who want to learn can. Carly Schreck tells us about it in this week's Inside the Gates.
If you really want to throw yourself into Alaska,
a lot of people, their first exposure to winter is when they arrive at their first base or a northern tiered base.
Sleep outside in the middle of February.
I'm all for it. I'm excited.
That's exactly what these airmen are doing, taking advantage of an Arctic resiliency training program launched this winter season.
We really wanted to empower people to know that they would be fine whether they're on or off duty if different circumstances hit them in the winter.
The two-day course offered by the 11th Air Force teaches airmen the fundamentals of cold weather safety, from proper gear and wildlife awareness, from shelter to fire building, as well as procuring food and water.
We want to make sure that everybody, if they're anywhere in the state or anywhere in the Arctic environment, that they have those skills, because we can find ourselves in different places, you know, servicing some of the stations that we have in Alaska.
For many stationed at Alaska's bases, it's their first experience in an Arctic climate.
We basically built this class to take someone that's straight out of Florida, put them in the Arctic, and then teach them what they needed to survive.
Such as Second Lieutenant Tabitha Herring.
I came in June of 2023.
Who's up here at her first duty station.
I wanted to get out and experience something new. I felt this was the safest place to introduce myself to the Arctic and the outdoors in a controlled environment.
And taking advantage of opportunities to learn potentially life-saving skills when recreating in the great outdoors.
So you're gonna do a little slip knot on the end?
It's training that's not necessarily required for non-rated officers stationed in cold weather climates, but can help these airmen safely experience all of what Alaska has to offer.
It sounds like it should have always been there, right? And I think when all of us realized it wasn't there, we realized it needed to be.
Inside the gates of J-Bear, Carly Schreck, Alaska's news source.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Click subscribe so you can get the latest podcast from Alaska's news source automatically. And stay up to date with breaking news and in-depth reporting available for free 24/7 with the Alaska News Source app.